Words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing our sermon series entitled The Thief We Let in which we are talking about how social media has sneaked into our lives and has begun to take things from us. Last week, we looked at how social media can steal our contentment by encouraging us to compare our lives to that of others. And of course, we talked about the idea that what we're seeing on social media is like the high points of their whole life, right? And so they're on vacation in Cancun and we're dealing with a cranky three-year-old. Sometimes we take the mess that we have and we're trying to compare it to what we're seeing of other people's lives on social media, which is all the filtered part of their life. Their life might be an even bigger mess than yours, but you won't know it from social media. This week, we're talking about how social media steals our relationships. But before we jump into that, I want to talk about the elephant in the room. I know some of you are looking at me going, Tyson, you don't have any social media presence whatsoever. You are not on Facebook. You are not on X. You are not on Instagram. You're completely absent from social media. And yes, I am. However, I was on Facebook for a long time. And during that time, I experienced all of these things that we are talking about today and talking about in this sermon series. I've experienced it all. And I get that there is value in social media. But for me, Facebook had become a giant time suck. And frankly, I found it more soul-sucking than soul-giving. And so for me, getting off of it was, I think, the right call. And I'm not saying anybody in here needs to do that. I will encourage you to evaluate how you use social media. How much of time is it taking from you? What kind of attention is it taking from your children or your spouse? I'll encourage you to examine how you use it. But there is value in it. And as Leanne pointed out last week, I mean, most of the moms wouldn't know anything about birthday parties if they weren't on Facebook. So I understand that there is value in it. But for me, I really found that it did not have the sort of value that really made it worth my time. I gave it up for Lent one time, and after about the first 2 days, it was easy. And then it was 3 months after Easter, and I realized I hadn't gotten back on Facebook. So I eventually got back on and then decided that it just wasn't a good use of my time. You know, Leanne and I were talking between services about how social media is affecting all of our lives, whether you recognize it or not. You don't have to be on social media to be affected by what's happening in our culture with social media. You know, in the last 20 years, we have had a tsunami of technological change. Michelle and I will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary in April, and I remember my first real job. I had an assistant that sat outside my office, and she answered my phone. Mike Tyson's office. That doesn't happen much anymore, does it? No. And then I remember my first phone, my first mobile phone. It was a bag phone. Anybody remember those bag phones? It was awesome. I mean, you could carry it with you if you wanted to, but it's kind of like carrying a purse with an antenna sticking up out of it. And the battery life was terrible on it. And you fast forward to today, and in your hand, you hold the sum total of the knowledge of man. And what do you do with it? You post selfies and cat pictures and update your status as I'm eating at Burger King or whatever. And you know, we have seen this technological change in our lifetime. And you know, the next big thing coming is AI, artificial intelligence, and how that's going to affect our culture. I mean, we think social media and the technology around that has affected our culture. I think the AI that's coming has the ability to completely disrupt our culture, depending on how we allow it to be used. So we've talked about how social media and technology in particular is changing our lives, changing our relationships. To me, that begs the question, what should our relationships look like? How should we be treating one another as followers of Jesus and just people in general, I believe? Scripture has something to say about this. We're going to look at two different texts. The first is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 through 25. The author of Hebrews says this, "And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And this from Romans 12, 9 through 10. "Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." I love these texts about how we should treat one another. In this passage from Hebrews, in the 10th chapter, the author of Hebrews has just spent a few verses talking about the sacrifice of Jesus and how perfect that sacrifice is, and that because of that sacrifice, we are sanctified, we are made holy, we are made right before God. And then he goes on to start talking about some of the practical things about how we as Christians should behave. And he tells us, and I think this is something we should all write on our hearts, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds." I love that. If you're going to provoke me to do something, provoke me to love and to do good deeds. And then the text from Romans comes from the 12th chapter. And I have shared with you that I'm such a terrible human being that I don't need a life verse like some of you. I need a whole life chapter. And Romans 12 is my life chapter. And if you want to find out how you should be living as a follower of Jesus Christ, you pick up Romans 12 and read it. It's a guidebook as to how to be a follower of Jesus Christ, what you should look like, what you should act like, and how you should be. And I love this part when he talks about how we should treat each other. Let love be genuine. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another in mutual affection. And I love this one. Outdo one another in showing honor to the other. Wouldn't that be great if that was the contest? That we were trying to out-honor each other? Out-respect each other? That would be awesome. Scripture here makes it clear how we should treat one another. So what is technology doing to our relationships? The first thing I think technology and social media have done to our relationships is they have redefined the understanding of the meaning friend. My son is 35 years old. In 2001, he was playing online a game called Battlefield 1942. It's one of the first online first-person shooter games where you could join with people from literally all over the world. And he had a little squad that he played with. And there was a mod who was from Israel, and there was a guy from England, and a guy from Spain, and a guy from Idaho. And they would get together every evening and they would play this game, and they would fly an airplane or drive a battleship or do all kinds of fun and cool things, but they would do it together as a team. And my son told me these were his friends. And this was 2001. I kind of walked away going, wow, the world has really changed here, that he has friends that he's never laid eyes on and yet are all over the world. I think the term friend is changing for us. We have Facebook friends, and we have friends we do things with. That certainly was my experience when I was on Facebook. Some of them were the same, but I had friends that I went hunting and fishing with, and then I had Facebook friends who I just kind of posted things to. You know, the average adult Facebook user has 328 friends. How you doing? How many friends do you have on Facebook? So the average adult Facebook user has 328 friends. Surveys show that the average American claims to have two close friends. 25% of those polled had no friends. I'm a fortunate man. I have several friends that I call close, people whom I would divulge my soul to. We are more connected than ever. I mean, I can text my wife and she can be in a meeting and she gets it and she texts me back. I can text my friend who lives in New York and he gets it and he texts me back. We've never been more connected in the history of the world. But the truth of it is, surveys tell us that while we are more connected than we have ever been, we are never lonelier than we have ever been in the history of the world. We have all this connectivity, and yet we find ourselves lonely. There are studies that are talking about loneliness being the new epidemic in America. Now look, I don't not deny the value of social media. It has value. Some good things can come from it. I mean, we as a church have a Facebook page, and we use it as a serious communication tool to let you know what's happening around the church. And I'll tell you that I have this app that's called WhatsApp, and with it, you can talk to anybody around the world. You can text them, you can talk to them, all through, if you've got cell service, you can use this app. It's all encrypted. My son was in Denmark for a month, and rather than calling long distance or burning up cell phone minutes for him while he was roaming, we talked on WhatsApp. And recently we had a mission group that went to Cuba, and I remain in touch with my friends in this communist country with WhatsApp. I mean, Leanne and I, some other people are going on a trip to Cuba to do some more mission work at the end of the month, and I was able to text Pastor Samuel, "Hey, I'm coming. What can I bring you from the States?" "Pencils for my children," is what he said. So the technology that we have is not all bad. There's value in it. It's how we use it. It's how we allow it to control our lives that counts. So friend is being redefined. Are our Facebook friends really our friends? Because we can relate to our Facebook friends strictly as we choose. You get to choose exactly how you interact with your Facebook friend. Your friend makes a post and you look at it and go, that's kind of stupid. I don't think I'm going to like that. And, you know, if Susie Q posts that one more cat picture, I'm going to unfriend her. And you can do it with a touch of a button. So what we have in these Facebook friends, these social media friends, is it's a one-way interaction. You get to choose exactly how you interact with them and when you choose to do it. And it goes the other way, too. Your Facebook friends interact with you in the exact same way, exactly as they choose to do it. So in a Facebook friendship, what you have is two one-way friendships. Now, maybe you call me old school, but I understand friends as a two-way relationship. How you want to interact with me is part of how I interact with you. Your wants and your wishes as to what our friendship looks like impacts how I respond to my wants and wishes and how our friendship works together. This Facebook friend concept is errant. A true friendship, it's a two-way relationship. Our social media friends are just two one-way relationships. I have to tell you that we who are not digital natives are experiencing this. We're experiencing relationships being altered, our understanding of friend being altered. We're understanding that we're comparing our lives to other people. You're experiencing this a little bit. Your children and your grandchildren are experiencing this in ways that you can't imagine. This social media world is a much, much larger part of their world than it is for us. I mean, there's surveys about the latest generation and about their inability to pick up social cues. I mean, you've seen it. People at dinner, everybody on their phone. I mean, you have those moments where you're trying to talk to your spouse and they're scrolling through their phone or scrolling on their laptop looking at the latest posts. We see the problem. What can we do to break this cycle that social media has put us on? I'll tell you, the first thing that we need to do is be present for one another, present for our friends. And I'm not talking about just like paying attention. I'm talking about physical presence. Your physical presence matters. It's important. I'll give you an example. I have a friend that I have grown up with for 53 years. We've been friends, best friends. And some 25 years ago, his brother was killed in a plane crash in Hawaii. I heard about it, not on social media, because it didn't exist back then, or for the masses anyway. And I immediately went to his house just to be with him. And look, I had no magic words. I had nothing I could say that would undo what happened. I could do nothing to undo the grief that he was feeling. But I was there. And he and I went on a hunting trip in September with our sons. had a great time. But we talked about that moment. Doesn't remember a single word I said, nor do I. But he remembers I was there. I was there when he needed someone. And so I want you to understand how powerful the ministry of presence is. Being present physically with the people in your life. I mean, even in moments of not grief, in moments of joy, be present. Be physically present in their lives. It matters. It matters in ways you really can't fathom. So what else can we do to break this hamster wheel that social media has us on? You can engage. Engage fully with the people that you're around, emotionally, spiritually, and with your physical presence. Be there completely. Engage with them. I mean, I would suggest that at least I know family life with little ones is crazy. You've got taekwondo and soccer and baseball and I mean, we had all of that same as our children were growing up. We tried at least twice a week to have a family meal where we sat down and we weren't getting KFC on the go or Chick-fil-A on the run. And I would encourage you to try to do that with your family. At least twice a week, have a family meal. Put your phones in a drawer, turn them off, and be present. Be engaged with your children, with your family, with your grandchildren, with your spouse. Scripture tells us to provoke one another to love and good deeds. And I love this part. Not neglecting to meet together, as some people have developed a habit of. I mean, he's talking about worship there, not neglecting to gather, to worship together, but I think it's true for our lives as well. We can find ourselves neglecting to meet with our friends, neglecting to spend time and be present with them. So if you've got a friend that you haven't seen or talked to in a while, make a date. Go see them. Meet somewhere. Have lunch. Put your phone down. Turn it off. Be fully engaged with the people around you. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Let your love be genuine. Love one another with a mutual affection. Scripture makes it clear how we should treat one another. So I encourage you to take a look at how you might be using social media, how you might be allowing it to control your life. Maybe make a change. Maybe commit to be more present in the lives of your loved ones. Maybe commit to be more engaged when you're with them and when you're in their presence. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, you make it so clear how we are to love one another. Help us, Father. Help us to put the cares of this world down, that we might be fully present for our friends, for our families, for our loved ones. Help us to find a way to mediate how we use technology, that it doesn't run over the relationships that we have. Write on our hearts the importance of our loved ones and our relationship with them. Guide us and lead us. Help us to love one another with mutual affection. Help us to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us here as we go out into the world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.